We will read some scripture in just a minute, though, if it makes you feel any better. How's that? It is great, great, great to see you. I just kind of want to spend a few hours just talking to you from here, one at a time, since I'm not allowed to do it in the building. But it is just an awesome privilege and honor and joy to be here. Prentice desperately needs someone else to argue with. We are running out of stuff. On the way here, Willis said, "I see a train in the clouds." And Prentice said, "No, I like trains." So that's where we are as a family. That's what it's come to. So we are thrilled to be here with you today. Maybe something new will happen. There's been an assembly-sized hole in our lives, hasn't there? And today we begin that process, and whatever new way it might be, of filling that void. We've been reminded over the past 3 or 4 months that being together is not just a routine. It's not just a religious observance. It is an integral and crucial factor in our spiritual health. Now, we've had some opportunities over the past few months to look inwardly, to examine ourselves, to take personal spiritual inventory and make sure we're right with God. We've had some opportunities to be with our family and perhaps attend to some things that perhaps have been neglected in the past. And we've enjoyed that, but it has been difficult being apart, hasn't it? It is God's plan for His people to be together regularly. It is God's plan for us to meet together and assemble together and stir up one another to love and good works. And when that doesn't happen, it makes things difficult. Christianity is absolutely deeply personal, but it is also by its very nature absolutely communal. I have missed you. My family has missed you dearly and desperately. And I must confess that we probably took you for granted. As much as we value the assembly, we probably took it for granted. I took for granted the sound of all of your voices until those voices were gone. I took for granted the meaning and the encouragement that a simple handshake or a hug or a conversation can have until I couldn't have those things. I took for granted the powerful communion that we share the first day of the week until you weren't beside me to share it. Thomas Fuller once wrote, "Absence sharpens love, presence strengthens it." Have you found that to be true? That absence... Is this working? That was supposed to be up there while I said it. Was it up there? I'm a little rusty, forgive me. Absence makes you forget how to work the clicker. As God's people, we are called a body. We are called a family. We are called a household for a reason. We were designed to function together, and I have no doubt that our emotions are high this morning as we begin to re-experience some of the practical benefits of those sacred truths. And I sincerely and wholeheartedly believe that it's pleasing to God, that it's acceptable to God that we feel those deep emotions as we re-engage in all of the beauty and splendor of His plan for us to be together. But none of this has happened in a vacuum, has it? The fact that we haven't assembled for 3.5 months has not happened in a vacuum. That's not all that we've been dealing with, is it? In addition to celebrating our reunion today, I also believe it would be wise for us to consider that since we last met, we have been made keenly aware that the world desperately needs Jesus. We live in a world that desperately needs to hear good news. Our country specifically is suffering and broken, likely irreparably divided in ways that are more complex and deeply rooted than I can hope to articulate here this morning. There seems to be not only a constant barrage of political and social and racial and medical and moral issues that divide us, but also a widespread breakdown in productive and effective communication, even among those who would call themselves Christians. To put it another way, darkness seems to have spread. Every person in this assembly this morning has experienced the past few months differently. We're taking in different information from different sources at different rates and speeds, processing it differently and learning in different ways. We're filtering all of that through our own unique perspective and hopefully through the Word of God. But we would probably be foolish and naive to think that as we sit here today, that we're all going to agree on the things that have transpired in the last 3.5 months around us. That would be foolish, wouldn't it? And it's with that in mind that today's lesson is both an assumption and an admonition. The title of today's lesson is Let's Keep Talking. Let's keep talking. Our culture has taught us that disagreeing with someone on what we consider to be an important issue means that the relationship is effectively over. That if we disagree, that it won't be long before our relationship ends. Everywhere we look, our country is telling us that we must choose a side. We have to choose a side. We've got to choose. Are we a Republican or are we a Democrat? Are we left or are we right? Are we conservative or are we liberal? Are we for the mask or no mask? Black or white? The pandemic or the economy? And I would suggest to you that the game is rigged. Because no matter which of these sides you take, you're wrong. You're still wrong. And no matter which of these sides you take, you are not, hear me on this, you are not on solid ground. You're just not. Because none of those sides are solid ground. They're all flawed. They're all simply human perspectives. Many Christians, unfortunately, have bought into this mindset. Some of our brothers and sisters in Christ, as we speak, are at each other's throats. At a time when we should be modeling true unity to the world around us, the devil looks on and laughs. But that is not the way you learned Christ, is it? That's not the way you learned Christ. That's what Paul said to the Ephesians in chapter 4, beginning in verse 20. Assuming that you have heard about Him and were taught in Him, as followers of Christ, we must reject and resist the notion that we have to live our lives in Christ according to the world's rules. We don't, and we shouldn't. Many Christians are confusing politics and patriotism and racial perspective and theories about the government with what it really means to follow Jesus. If we're going to choose a side, it should be the side of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. If we're going to stand for something, it should be for something that He would stand for. If we're going to get angry or defensive, it should be about something that makes Him angry or defensive. If we're going to divide over something with our fellow man, much less our brother or sister in Christ, it should be for something that He was willing to divide over. And at the end of the day, the only group of people in which we should find our true identity and to whom we should pledge our allegiance is the group of people who bear the name and are clothed in the blood of Jesus Christ. We are citizens of the kingdom of God. One of the most crucial skills that a child of God can possess in this current climate is the ability to communicate, to have a conversation with someone in a biblical, godly way, especially with someone we disagree with. Considering everything that's going on in the world right now, we must keep talking. with those who are in the world and of the world. And we must keep talking with our brothers and sisters in Christ as these inevitable disagreements come up. But how do we conduct ourselves? How do we have conversations in a way that will be pleasing to God? How do we generate light and avoid heat? Someone might say, well, we don't need to keep talking about these issues. We just need to be quiet. If we stop talking about them, they'll go away. There might come a point, let me say this, there might come a point where that's true, where we've exhausted every possible means of communication, where we've said everything that needs to be said, and we're simply not getting anywhere, and that might be a time to stop communicating. But in general, I don't believe God's Word agrees with this sentiment. Do you? Christians need to be part of these conversations. Withdrawing from the darkness when we are the bearers of light is the opposite of our biblical mandate. After all, are we not the salt of the earth and the light of the world? Aren't we supposed to intentionally illuminate darkness and add flavor to bitter conversations? Don't we teach our kids, hide it under a bushel? No! Makes you want to sing that song, doesn't it? No, we don't hide it under a bushel. We don't pull away when things get scary. We shine our light. I'm going to let it shine, is what we teach our kids to sing. So leaving the lights off and putting the salt away is really not the answer. If our mission is to take the gospel, the good news, to a world that is lost, then disengaging in these conversations is not the answer. In fact, as I'm sure you have seen in your lifetime, the sins of division and hate and prejudice and racism and pride seem to grow and thrive when we ignore them. They seem to come back stronger and more resentful and more bitter and more powerful than they were. We have an opportunity right now to take God's Word and lay it against whatever we're going through and have biblical communication with anyone and everyone. Only God's Word can pierce and discern and expose and hopefully cause us to repent of the sinful thoughts and intentions of the heart. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. So this morning I'd like to remind us of three principles of biblical communication. And these principles are always important, but I believe they're especially valuable and timely right now. The first of those principles is that we need to listen humbly. We need to listen humbly. James tells us in chapter 1, verses 19 and 20, that we need to be quick to hear or quick to listen and slow to speak and certainly slow to anger. Why? Because the anger of men does not bring about the righteousness of God. So we need to be very quick to listen or hear. Now, what would you say you're most quick to do between those two things, listening and speaking? Which are you most quick to do? I suppose everyone is different. But God says, let every person, I don't care what your personality is. I don't care how quick you are to speak just by nature. I want every person to be quick to listen. If it's not your nature, I want you to train yourself to do that. That should be our first inclination when we get into a conversation. That word translated hear or listen means this: to attend to consider what is or has been said, to understand, perceive the sense of what is said. It's more than just sitting there, and I've done this, and being quiet and waiting for that person to stop talking so you can tell them what they need to know. I would never do that to my wife. She knows that. That's a joke. I have done that a lot of times to my wife. She's probably done it to me because we feel like, well, when you're done talking, I'll tell you what you need to hear. And that's not listening. Listening is trying to understand where someone else is coming from, trying to perceive the truth of what they're telling you. Proverbs chapter 18, verse 13 says, if one gives an answer before he hears, before he listens, it is his folly and shame. Don't be so quick to give your opinion, to give what you think in any given conversation. Matthew 11, verse 15, Jesus said, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." Now, since almost everyone has ears physically speaking, what is Jesus talking about? He's not talking about physically being able to hear the noises coming out of somebody's mouth. He's talking about listening. He said this right about the time that he began to teach exclusively in parables, because although some of these people who were listening technically had ears, they stopped trying to understand. They stopped actually listening to what Jesus was saying. They were never going to open up to what he had to say. Guess who had the biggest problem with having ears to hear? I hate to tell you this here on a Sunday morning, but it was religious people who knew all the answers already. And Jesus said, I hope you're still listening. I hope your ears are still open. Proverbs 18:2, a fool takes no pleasure in understanding, but only in expressing his opinion. In fact, the way of a fool is right in his own eyes, Proverbs 12:15, but a wise man listens to advice. Proverbs 29:1 says, "He who is often reproved yet stiffens his neck will suddenly be broken beyond healing." You remember the stiff-necked people that Stephen was talking to in Acts chapter 7? You know, he spent the entire chapter trying to teach them why they had always rejected God's plan for the Messiah, and they still did. He spent that entire chapter telling them the truth about Jesus and about everything that had led up to him. And you know what they said at the end of that? "Gee, thanks, Stephen. That was an amazing lesson. We're going to take this to heart. We're going to think about it. And we're going to get back to you." No. He called them a stiff-necked people at the end of that speech. "Uncircumcised in heart and ears, you always resist the Holy Spirit as your fathers did, so do you." And all of this was true. And if they had listened, it would have benefited them. Could have saved their very eternal soul, but they wouldn't listen. Instead, the Bible says they were enraged and they ground their teeth at him. They cried out with a loud voice and stopped their ears and rushed together at him. Then they cast him out of the city and stoned him. That's not listening, is it? All of the passages that we've looked at, did you notice a social media exemption clause in any of this? Did the proverb writer say, "Listen, it's really best to listen before you speak, unless you're on some kind of newfangled technology, in which case you feel free to just say whatever's on your mind"? There's no such clause. You would be forgiven for thinking that there might be one if you look on social media ever. There's no such clause. I've seen a lot of rage on social media in the last few weeks, a lot of teeth grinding, a lot of ear stopping. Figuratively speaking, quite a bit of stoning taking place. There may be a little too much talking and not enough listening. Maybe a little too much pride and not enough humility. Maybe a little too much posting and not enough praying. Are there some productive conversations? Absolutely. Can you have an enlightening and productive and effective conversation? Absolutely, there are some. But boy, this is a dangerous place to express your opinion, isn't it? It's not the very, very best way to do it. So let's be careful and let's pray for wisdom in that area. Because the issues that have come to the surface in this country lately are complex. You may be sitting there this morning thinking, "Well, there's nothing complex about it." And I would suggest that you're wrong. They're complex, they're multi-layered, they're difficult, if not impossible, to fully and completely understand. Everyone has an opinion. Have you noticed that? And all of these opinions are backed up by a series of expert articles and videos, a large following of passionate people, and usually a few Bible verses to prove the point to be true beyond the shadow of a doubt, right? The problem is that when all of these opinions get together, they don't agree with each other. And for someone who's just listening and trying to make out what is the whole truth of this situation, it's difficult, isn't it? It's overwhelming to have so many educated opinions, so to speak, and we still have trouble figuring out what's going on. Proverbs 18:17 says, "The one who states his case first seems right until the other comes and examines him." At no point in my life has that ever been more true than it is right now. Boy, that sounds right. Oh, well, let me read this. Now it doesn't sound right. I don't know what to think. Have you experienced that? Everybody seems right when their article is the one that you're reading, when their book is the one that you're reading. I'm going to be honest with you. I don't know everything that I need to know about the intricacies of race relations or pandemics in this country. I don't know about everything that I need to know about race relations within the Lord's church. I'm not exactly sure which voices I need to be listening to at this point, except for the voice of God. I'm glad to read a book or an article about the issue of race. I'm currently reading several, but I'm also very aware that there are probably other books that somebody else will recommend that will say the exact opposite of the ones that I'm reading right now. Which is why Solomon probably said, of making many books, there is no end. In other words, I have a lot to learn, and I may never arrive at the whole truth. So what would be the best course of action? What about listening? What about listening in a very systematic way? What about listening purposefully? Instead of digging my heels in or being prideful and being certain that I'm not wrong, maybe I should be more open and humble. Since the George Floyd video was released, I saw several posts claiming that silence, that anybody's silence meant that you must condone the brutal behavior in this video. Did you see some of those posts? That if you don't say something about this, that means that you are part of the problem. And at first I thought, well, you know, I can understand why somebody would say that. Can you understand that? I can understand why somebody would say that. At some point, a person's silence might make them guilty. I agree with that. But as I open up my Bible, I find another side of that story, and I find that silence can be incredibly valuable. And it can be an incredibly necessary part of having a biblical conversation. Do you remember when Job's three friends came to encourage him after his tragedy? And you remember the first thing that they did for an entire week? They sat silent, trying to gauge the situation, trying to show their support and their solidarity with Job. And that might have been the smartest thing they did while they were there. Because when they started talking, boy, it got ugly, didn't it? When they started talking, Job eventually got to the point in chapter 13, verses 4 and 5, where he called them worthless physicians, and he said, "I wish you'd just be silent again. Could we go back to when you weren't talking?" Now, why is that? Why is it that these friends went from helpful to incredibly unhelpful? Well, it's because they weren't listening to him. They already had the answer. They came into this situation with a predetermined religious explanation for what had happened to Job. And it didn't matter that it wasn't true. It didn't matter that his experience showed that their theory was wrong. It didn't matter. They weren't listening anymore. And Job says, "You're worthless. You're not really listening to what I have to say. And you happen to be wrong." They thought they understood the situation, but they didn't. What about you? Is it possible that you and I don't yet understand the situations around us? Is that possible? Are you willing to admit that? I'm talking about getting a grasp on society and culture and history in a way that maybe we don't have yet. I'm not talking about the objective truth of God's Word. I'm talking about everything going on around us that could be more difficult to get a grasp on. And certainly when we're meeting with someone individually, this is what I've seen. Everything that we may have listened to up to that point may not matter to that person. See, their experience may be different from everything we've read or all the statistics that we may have gathered. And what we need to do for each and every person that we meet is listen. Listen purposefully to learn where they're coming from. The Bible says, be angry and do not sin. Ponder in your own hearts on your beds and be silent. Psalm 4:4. Proverbs 11:12, whoever belittles his neighbor lacks sense, but a man of understanding remains silent. Amos said in chapter 5, verse 13, therefore he who is prudent will keep silent in such a time, for it is an evil time. There are certain times when it's wise to keep silent for a while. When Peter was communicating to the Jews in Acts 11 that God had accepted the Gentiles into the church, that was a big deal. That was something they weren't ready to hear. They didn't think it would be true until Peter began to explain, and you'll see in that verse that part of them listening means they fell silent. Because what Peter was saying didn't match with what they thought. And so instead of arguing with him and casting him out and getting ugly with him, they got silent. They listened, and they finally said, well, praise God. If this is God's decision, if things have changed, then we accept it. They were listening, and silence was part of that. So let me suggest that we need to be doing the same thing. We need to give everyone the honor of listening to their perspective. That doesn't mean, please don't misunderstand, it doesn't mean we have to agree. In fact, that's when this is most important, is when we disagree. The second thing I would suggest this morning is we need to learn logically, we need to learn systematically, we need to learn personally. Let me tell you what I mean by this. Romans chapter 12, verse 2. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. Brother Melvin and some others have recently pointed out in some of their online teaching that this verse is in the context of a block of teaching in the book of Romans that's essentially dealing with race relations in the church. Paul was teaching, among some other things, that listening has a goal. It's not just about listening. You've not done everything you should do if all you do is listen to somebody. It's not the end result of what we're trying to accomplish, but we're trying to listen to learn, to discern, and ultimately to find the will of God, to find what is good, what is right, what is acceptable in this conversation. So we've got to filter all of the information, all of the perspectives that we take in through a proper understanding of Scripture. And a desire not just to hear the other person out, but to help them find the truth in the conversation. Simply listening doesn't necessarily help people, does it? Paul talked to Timothy about a group of people who were always learning and never able to arrive at the knowledge of the truth. 2 Timothy 3:7. The Hebrew writer in chapter 5, verse 14 says that solid food is for the mature, for those who have their powers of discernment trained by constant practice to distinguish good from evil. And that's usually uncomfortable, isn't it? It's usually uncomfortable when we're listening to learn. We've become practiced, and I'm including myself in this, we've become kind of practiced at listening to lessons with no real intent of doing anything with them. Our intent, usually, if we're being honest, is to decide whether we liked it or whether we didn't like it, whether we agree with it or disagree with it. Rarely do we come into a lesson, and I'm just speaking generally, with the decision in our mind that whatever is said today from God's Word, I'm going to go right out of this building and start doing it. If there's something I need to change, I'm going to go right out of this building and I'm going to start changing it today. We're practiced at listening without learning, aren't we? We're just good at it. The difference between simply listening to Nathan the prophet and learning from Nathan the prophet meant that David had to choose. Was he going to honestly confront his own sin? How deeply do you think David had buried that sin so that he didn't have to learn from it? So that he could listen to stories like the one that Nathan told and not see the point. So that he could have ears to hear, but not really have to hear anything. When you get to John the Baptist in Luke chapter 3, he preached a lesson on the coming kingdom of God and the need for repentance. And in this passage, chapter 3, verses 10 through 14, there were different instructions for different groups of people who were asking, what does it mean to repent? What do I need to do? And they all heard the same lesson, but they all got a different answer. To the crowds, John said, well, you need to be less selfish. If you have something that you can share, you need to share it. To the tax collectors, he said, well, you need to be more honest. Don't collect more than you're supposed to collect. To the soldiers, he said, you don't need to be abusing your power. See, the same lesson, just like the very one you're hearing right now, may inspire different kinds of responses. You may learn something different over here than this person learns over here. That's the way it's meant to be. Every one of us is on a different path. And every path requires a different kind of repentance and change. And it can only happen when we learn what we need to do differently. That's what we're talking about. Learn in that way. Listen to learn. Part of that can be done by having honest and open conversations with people who we disagree with. Part of it can be done by reading and studying on our own. When Paul said in 1 Corinthians 9, verses 19 and following, that he had become all things to all men, how much listening and learning do you think was involved in Paul being able to do that? Do you think Paul ever sat down with someone who lived outside of the law so that he could figure out, how does this person think? How can I become more like this person who lives outside of the law so that I can win him to Christ? Because that law didn't matter anymore. What are we willing to do? What are we willing to learn about someone that could help us teach them about Jesus? Instead of finding every reason in the world to shut the conversation down before it ever gets to Jesus. You know, if you start a conversation in this climate that begins with politics, guess where it'll end? It's going to end with politics. Unless you agree with that person. But we need to be able to shift our thinking, to pivot, and to listen and learn from people who have different opinions than we do. Ultimately, our learning cannot end with just a gathering of perspectives or information, though, or statistics or experiences. It's got to all go through God. And all of those conversations should follow this third rule, and that is to love biblically. Love biblically. Ephesians chapter 4, 15, speak the truth, yes, but how? Speak the truth in love. That's what Christians are to do. Colossians chapter 3, beginning in verse 11. Here there is not Greek and Jew, circumcised and uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave, free, but Christ is all and in all. Put on then as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, bearing with one another. And if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other. As the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. And above all these, some pretty important things in that list, but above all these, put on love. Why? Because it binds everything together in perfect harmony. Turn in your Bible to 1 Corinthians 13. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, we've sung this verse. We have mentioned it in our communion together this morning, and I want to bring our lesson to a close with some of these thoughts. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. I'm gonna read the Jeremy Pate translation of the first three verses. Can I do that? Let me make it clear, this is not an actual translation. This is just what I think we might say today that would be the same thoughts that Paul writes in here. Bear with me. If I can give all the right answers, but don't have love, I'm basically just making noise. And if I actually am the smartest person in the room, and I know the Bible better than anyone else, but don't have love, I'm not who I think I am. If I help unload every truck, go on every mission trip, fill my shelf with Lads to Leaders trophies, but can't have a loving conversation with someone I disagree with, I have wasted my time. Now let's just read what Paul wrote and see if it doesn't sound very similar. If I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I'm a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. And if I have prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains but have not love, I'm nothing. If I give away all I have, and if I deliver up my body to be burned but have not love, I gain nothing. Love is patient and kind. Love does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never ends. Romans chapter 12, verse 9 tells us to let love be genuine. Or as the New King James translates it, let love be without hypocrisy. In other words, we've got to show the same kind of love that's described in this chapter to everyone. It's not hard, and you might say amen, it's not hard to love people who agree with you, is it? It's just not hard. I can't wait to talk to people that I agree with. That's great. That's encouraging. That's exciting. That's easy. I can love those people pretty easily. Pretty effortlessly. But what about the people that I disagree with? God says you got to love them all without hypocrisy. May have to practice that. How about you? I think we're going to get an opportunity to do that, don't you? Let love be genuine. To put it bluntly, if you vote Republican, you are commanded to show the same love for someone who votes Democrat as you do for the other people who vote the way you do. It's a commandment. If you don't, you're a hypocrite. If you vote Democrat, you have to show the same love to the people who vote Republican. And it might help to be reminded, neither of these groups are perfect, and no one in either of these groups died on a cross for your sins. So maybe we all need to just check how passionate we get about people and groups of people who haven't done anything for us that can be compared to what Christ has done and continues to do. Let's close with some questions. Do you care about winning arguments or winning souls? Which one do you care more about? Do you just want to be right about God? Or do you also want to be right with God? Are you listening, learning, and loving in the same way that you would want others to do for you? We have a lot to talk about right now in this country, in this church. There are going to be things that come up that we're going to disagree with in this country and in this church. We need to engage in these conversations in a godly manner, or they're going to cause more problems. Paul says, I urge you as a prisoner for the Lord to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. How serious are you about that charge? Because we're about to find out. We're about to find out how serious all of us are about being eager to maintain our unity, the peace that we enjoy in Christ. It's about to be tested, if it hasn't already in your life. I would encourage all of us to remember to strive for peace with everyone and for the holiness without which no one will see the Lord. Finally, Romans 12, 18 and 21, if possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. It is, again, a pleasure and a joy to be back with you this morning. And I know that this might not have been the lesson that you were expecting or wanting to hear. I didn't know what that lesson might be for every person. I know that the Lord has convicted me of some things in the last several weeks that I felt like we might all benefit from. So I appreciate your patience and understanding. And if you feel like we need to talk, you just let me know. Because I will be glad to talk to somebody above the age of 3 or 4 right now. It would be wonderful. But it is amazing to see you again today. And let's all remember who we are and who we follow. And strive for that peaceful unity that Christ gave His life for. And maybe you're here this morning and the last several months have been incredibly difficult for you. And maybe you have stumbled in your faith. Maybe you just really need some prayers or you need to be encouraged or you need to study with someone. What a wonderful opportunity for the first time in a long time to ask for help. And maybe you're here this morning and you're not a Christian. And the past several months have caused you to really consider that. And perhaps you're ready to take the next step in that journey, whatever that step might be. If it's further levels of belief or repentance or confession, or you're ready to be baptized into Christ this morning, we'd love to help you in any way that we can. If you have a need, won't you come and let us know as we stand and sing.